Good morning, church. So good to be here to worship with all of us. You ready for this morning, the message? Yeah? All right. This morning, the message will be from the passage of continue from the parable of the sower, the next parable, which is extent of that parable of the sower. It's actually the conclusion of the parable of the sower. So, let's commit this time to our Lord in prayer. And this morning passage will be on Luke chapter 8, verse 16, to all the way to verse 21. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, O Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, we be able to stand here and worship you and call you our God. Father, indeed, it is such a privilege to be called you our Father, and we are your child. Father, let us be grateful and thankful. And as we listen to your word, as we hear your word, O Lord, prepare our heart. And your word will rooted in our heart, will grow, will transform us, will comfort us, will convict us, will really sanctify us so that we can know your will for our life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I titled this morning's sermon, Kingdom's People. Keeping his word. This is one of my favorite teaching always. Whenever I do Bible study, even with the young people, always remember to keeping God's word, to keeping his word. Keeping his word means to obey his word, to live out his word. And this morning, let us come together to read the word of God together. Next slide, please. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 21. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or put it under a bed, but put it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mothers and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, My mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. This is the word of the Lord. This is a very familiar passage for many of us. And even for myself, this is a very familiar passage. And as I go through it again, this simple passage, I found out this is very, very profound, very straightforward, very simple, and yet very profound. It convicted me so much as I prepare this message. I hope this morning, this message will really speak to you as well. It is so important. It is so, so important in this simple parable. Okay? In order to go into this parable, I will start from last week, connect with last week parable as well. Okay, so last week parable, he said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Look at the the one highlight in yellow, okay? And those along the part are the one who hears, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. So those seeds along the path, meaning in those days in the Roman road, the path is made of rock, a big piece of rock. It's very hard. So those are with the hardened of heart. So those seed drop on the hardened heart, it won't grow. It won't grow at all. And it will be trampled under the feet or take away by the bird. And the rocky, and verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have not root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Rocky ground have a little bit soil, but it's still full of rock. In those soil, the seed will grow for a while, but they cannot take root, right, deep enough to continue to bear fruit. So those, when the sun come out, it will wither away. So those are people who hear the word and really hear the word and feel joy, and they have this joy. But then when the test come, they cannot continue on. And the seed that, verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life, worries, riches, and pleasure, and they do not mature. So these are the ones who fall on that soil so that it can grow and take root. But the problem is there is thorn and tussle, and they will choke this plant and cannot bear fruit. So this means that the choking part is the life worry, riches, and pleasure. And very often in our life, if we want to bear fruit, right, and we allow this thing come into our life, it will choke us from continue growing in Christ and continue grow in our spiritual life. And these are the plants that will not mature. But verse 15, but the seed on a good soil, okay, pay close attention here. Close, good soil stand for those with a noble, I put aside there, sincere, upright, and good heart, meaning the well-ready heart. So it's a sincere, upright, and well-ready heart. Okay, those are the good soil. So who hear the word, retain it, mean keeping it, obey it, and by perseverance produce a crop, will produce fruit. In Matthew, it says we produce many fold of fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold of food because this seed drop in a good soil. So many people, when you hear the word of God, hear it carefully. Are you hearing it with the right attitude, right type of heart? Is your heart ready to receive it? Or your heart really skeptical, and you listen to the word of God, you just want to criticize it, you just want to full of doubt, and your opinion is more important than the word of God. So, brothers and sisters, when we listen to the word of God, our heart must be ready. Even the part that we don't understand, we believe this is the word of God. For now, I don't understand. One day, I will understand. Or some of it, we may never understand until we meet our Lord face to face in heaven, and maybe we can ask Him then. But yet, even we don't understand, we must take it as it is and obey it and submit to it. Okay? So, the seed is the word of God. So that's how our heart needs to be ready. And Jesus further extend this part of the parable to the next parable of the light. We will look at it here. So I break it down to four parts, okay? Keeping His word to illuminate our lives and people around us. Verse 16. Knowing that all will be brought to light on the judgment day, on the day of judgment. Verse 17. Knowing that to the one who is keeping His word will be given more. Verse 18. Knowing that those who keeping His word are Christ's family. Let us expound them one by one. It's really, really rich and wonderful. Okay? Next slide. Okay, here it says, no one light a lamp and hide it in a clay jar or put it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You see, very interesting. The lamp itself do not have light. First, give the light inside the lamp so that the lamp can illuminate light to the surrounding. So, first light to come in to the lamp in order for the lamp to be useful. And that first light will be the light, will be the word of God that come into our heart. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let light shine out of darkness, make his light shine in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What is that? That's the word of God. That is the gospel. Okay, the first light that come into our life was full of darkness, our heart was darkened. But then this word of God, this gospel come into our heart, and we start to have light. We see God through the face of Christ. We see Him, and that is the first step. And we hear the truth, and we have the light in our heart. And that is where we converted, that's when we believe. Okay, and as we believe, the lights come into us. And then Psalm 119 and verse 105 say, your word is a lamp of my feet, a light on my path. Now, after we believe, how we live on our life, we will let the light of God, the word of God, guide our path in every day of our living. To guide our path, to guide us to how to live, what to say, the decision to make, how to live our life in this world. Okay? So, you see, the light of God first come in, and this light become part of us, and this light will light up our part in our life. Okay? So, that's the part number one. Part number two, we look at next slide. See? No one like a lamp that hides it in a clay jar or put it under a bed. What is saying here? It's very straightforward, right? Who would like the light and then put under a clay jar or put under a bed? No one would do that. Then why you want to light the light? Right? It's wasted. But then, that's why God said, no one like a lamp. No one like a lamp. So, when we have light in us, and when we put it under a clay jar or put it under a bed, what happened? We're still in darkness. In our life, when the light comes to us already, when the light is with us, are we put it under the clay jar? Clay jar resembling is a household tools, and we use it every day in our life. So in the busyness of our life, we bury the light. What happened when we bury the light in the because of the busyness of our life? We will still be in darkness, right? And then, bed also resembling that comfort of our life. And because we want to have those comfort in our life, we buried the light under the bed. And we will back to darkness again. So, brothers and sisters, that's why our Lord said, do not, because of your everyday busyness, that's a very common word for all of us. When we come to church, we always say, oh, Pastor, I'm so busy. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to study the Word of God. I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time to make disciples. I don't have time to obey the Word of God. Okay? Instead of saying, I don't have time, why don't you just say that, I don't prioritize God in my life. I put God last in my life. When things get busy of my life, the first thing I drop is God. I don't care about God. Let's be honest about that. Okay? So, where our heart lies. And here, if you look at it in another view, God did not like a lamp. That means God did not like you us up to hide in a clay jar and put under a bed. God did not like us as a lamb for and let us bury in our busyness and our comfort. God liked us as a lamb to put on a stand so that those who come in can see the light, because He wants us to be the light for the world. You see, that's why here you in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it said, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deed and glorify your Father in heaven. There is a purpose when God put this light in us. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 here, he said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good work. Can we say that? To do what? Amen. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see? Yes, God gives us the grace so that we are saved through faith. This is a gift of God. But by that, we become the handiwork of God created in Christ Jesus to do good work that God's prepared for us. So that our Lord, our Father in heaven can be glorified. We are the lamb. We become the lamb when God put the light in us. We don't have light. The light is the Word of God. The light is God Himself in us. And God will shine out through our life. And God will want to put us on a stand so that the world may see for others around us. So are you the lamb that put under the ground or under the clay jar? Or are you the lamb put on the stand for the world to see? To share the love with the people around you. To bring the Word of God to the people around you. To bring gospel to the people around you. Right? To care for the people around you. We have the light. We have the light. In this world that's full of darkness, there's many out there without the light. Today we receive the light. We don't keep the light because we say we are busy, because we say we don't have time. We are so happy we receive the light. Okay? It's like, yeah, it's good. Now I can pray to God. Now I can ask blessing from God. Now I can ask help from God. Those are all good, right? Yeah, that's what I want. You know, and then I have a ticket to heaven, and that's what I want. Good. But when it comes to the part that, hey, be the light, let your life live out for others. Oh, sorry, I don't have time. I'm too busy for that. Right? So we'll see what Jesus said about that when we think like that. Jesus knows our mind. That's why the passage is just so beautiful. He knows everything. Okay, next slide. Verse 17, knowing that all will be brought to light on the judgment day, on the day of judgment. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And remember, you know, Jesus told us, I will return. And the day He will return in here, He will judge the world. Everything in our life will be open, laid before God, and He will see everything. Every one of us, including us as Christians, will have to give account before God. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. How about Christian? How is that? I already prayed the sinner's prayer. I already been baptized, Pastor. How about me? And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. Judgment begin with God's households. One day we will come before our God and give account of what we do. So when we hide the light, when we're not keeping His word, remember of this, the day will come and we have to give our account. Okay? That's why every first week of the month when we take the Lord's Supper, what is it? We wait, we proclaim that our Lord's death and He will return again. Remember that. But those who are keeping His word, and we should rejoice, the day will come. We can come before our Lord, we can stand before Him and say, Lord, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And our Lord will say to you, come on in, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. It's a serious warning, something we must look at seriously, and don't take it lightly. Okay? Next verse, verse 18, he said, knowing that to the one who is keeping his word will be given more. Verse 18 says, so consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. Have you all seen that before? You know, first you not coming to church, you skip the church, and then you skip your CG, you skip Bible study, you skip 1 week, too tired, and then second week, yeah, it's okay, and then third week, and then fourth week, and you stop reading the Word of God. First you read it, and then later you don't read it, and you don't listen to the Word of God. What's going to happen? Eventually you see yourself swaying away and away from God. You see yourself not being with the brother and sister of the church. You see yourself afraid to get connected with the brother and sister in church. Why? Because your heart is away from God. Your heart grows cold. Okay? So, what you have will be taken away from you. That is scary. That's scary. So, next slide, please. That's why verse 15, chapter 8, verse 15 said, who hear the word, keeping it, and by persevering, will produce a crop, will produce fruit. When we have the word, we must keep it. And after we listen it with a sincere heart, with a ready heart, and as we persevere through it, and we'll produce fruit. Yeah. And John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You see, Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in Him, you continue keeping His word, what's going to happen? More nutrient will supply to the branches. More nutrient will supply from the vine to the branches. That's why who keep it will get more. More will be given. But what happened to those who are not keeping His word? Those who are not abiding in Him, He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Yeah? What you have, what you think you have, will be taken away from you. Okay? So He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. This is a very beautiful passage. Can you see that? When we obey His word, when we keeping His word, when we trying to live it out, it is not easy. Why is this not easy? Because of our sinful nature. It becomes very hard. But as we obey and we wanted to live it out, we need to depend on God. We need to abide in Christ. We need to pray that God enable us, God strengthen us, God help us to overcome. It is not easy because of our sinful nature. But then, if we obey, if we abide in Christ and trust in God to keeping His word, our life will be transformed. Transformed to what? Transformed to the original stage that God created, original nature, the godly nature that God has put in us, because we are created in His image. So we need to fight against the sinful nature and transform back to the godly nature. And in that process, it's not easy. Just like, you know exercise is good for you. Exercise will help strengthen your body. That's what your body needs. But exercise, if you did not exercise for a long time, it is hard. Okay? It is hard to do. But you consistently push on and push on and push on. And you see yourself start to transform. Your body start to transform. Your strength starts to transform. And you'll be stronger. You'll be healthier. Because our body needed exercise. Same as our spiritual life, we need to obey to God. We need to have the Word of God to transform our life. And a lot of us say, it's so difficult. Don't do it with your own strength. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. I will be in you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Because our Lord knows when we want to keep His word, we by our own strength, we cannot do it. He said, just abide in me and ask. That means in our prayer, we seek God and it will be done for you. Because it is God's will. He said, it is God's will. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. It is His will for you, for every one of us to bear fruit. So, He more than happy to answer your prayer when you want to do things for Him. When you want to live the life for Him. When you live the life in righteous in His eye, want to keep His commandment. And He more than happy to help us to do so. Because if He want our life to bring glory to the Father. And showing yourself to be my disciple. That's what Jesus said. So, trust this promise of our God. Do it. Keep it. Obey to it. Don't use our own strength. It will be difficult. Ask God to help, to do, to live. Amen? Next slide. So, how we do it? You see, in John chapter 15, verse 9 to 10, I really want us to see this. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. And John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You see, when we're keeping the word of God, when we obey to God, it is not a religion practice. It is not a religious practice. It is a love relationship. We do it out of love because God first loved us. You say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Okay, we know that God so loved us. We do it out of love. Let me give you an example. It is like marriage. You know, the day you say I do, right? Nothing changed from you physically, but everything changed inside you. You are a husband now. You are a wife now. You know, before you get married, I always like to use this example with young people. Before I get married, I make 3,000. I spend all 3,000. After I get married, I'm happy if I get to spend 300. Right? I want to buy something, I will have to ask my wife 300 times. Yeah, a bit exaggerated, more like 100 times. But the answer is still no. I hear some echo there. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, we are doing this, we're willing to do it. We're happy to do it. We're happy to spend less than 300. We're happy to come to our wife and ask again and again, and she say no, and it's okay. We're willing to submit and do that. Not that we submit to our wife, we submit to one another in marriage. Do it with love. Do it with joy. You know? Before you get married, you go out, you get a mixed rice, you get a plate of wonton mee, and that meal done. After you're married, you have to start cooking at home, prepare the food, washing, because it's healthier for the whole family to eat together. And it's a hard labor, it's a hard work. But we do it with love, with joy. Right? Our relationship with our Lord is as such. We don't keep the word of God because of the Bible told us and dutifully we do it, or we are forced to do it. No, out of love in this relationship. And it's for our own good to transform us. So our Lord said, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. It is true. If we continue to read God's word and we continue to obey God's word, our relationship with Him will grow. We will depend more on Him. We will come to talk to Him. And we will grow in our spiritual walk with Him and our love for our God. It is a wonderful thing. That doesn't mean there is no struggle. Of course there's struggle. In marriage, there's plenty of struggle. But then, we do it with love. Because our Lord first loved us. Amen? Okay, next slide. Now, verse 19 to 21. Now, Jesus' mothers and brothers came to see Him, but they were not able to get near Him because of the crowd. Someone told Him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." You see, it is so true. Is Jesus trying to be mean? No. He speaks the truth. Are those who hear the word and put into the practice are those who will enter into heaven gate. And those who can be his brothers and his mother. Next slide, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who said to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see? I have prayed my sinner prayer, I have gone through baptism, and then I left nothing. I did not obey God's word, I did not come before Him to depend on Him, to pray to Him, to transform my life, to keep His word, to obey to Him. And the day will come, when we come before God and He said, "We want to enter." And He said, "Why you call me Lord, Lord? I do not know you. You don't have relationship with me. You do not love me. You do not keep my word. Why you call me Lord, Lord? You are not family. You don't have love for me." Yeah? But that's why those who think they have the word, but actually the word is on the path, the rocky part, with hardened heart. They did not receive it. They will not receive it. The seed dropped into the rocky ground. They thought they have it, but they don't. Because they also, very quickly, they'll give up. Those who drop, the seed drop on the tussle and thorn. What happened? Those people who are so busy with their daily things, their own things, riches, well, that's what they love, will choke them from growing, continue to grow, to be matured. Those people also think themselves are Christian. The day will come, they'll call Jesus, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not know you. But only the one who does the will of my Father is my brother and my mother. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. Therefore, everyone who hears this word of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it has its foundation on the rock. Okay? Do we put it into practice? Do we keep his word? We hear it. Do we keep it? Do we obey it? Do we practice it? Do we live it out? A lot of people say, I'm too busy. I don't have time. When you say you don't have time, let me tell you what happened. You are separated the word of God in your life, the church life, and your own life. Actually, the word of God should be in everywhere of our life, in every day of our life. When you do your work, you seek his wisdom. When you make your decision, you seek his wisdom from his word. You practice it. How you conduct yourself in your workplace, according to his word. How you make a decision, according to his word. How you talk to your wife, according to his word. How do you talk to your husband, according to his word. How do you teach your children, according to his word. His word should be every part of our life, not separated. This is a church life, this is a Christian life, this is my own life. If you separate as such, you say, I'll be so busy and I don't have time to practice this. And if we see that this, we can use the word of God in every day in our life, we saturate his word in us and live it out, and we need his, you will find yourself need more of his word every day. You want to read more, you want to know more, you will come before God, Lord, I want to do this, and I cannot do this, and I do this, my boss hated me, what should I do? And you come before God and say, Lord, help me, grant me favor before my bosses so that I can live, I can stand firm in your word. Is everything in our life. We cannot separate it. The teaching of the Word of God in this Bible is very, very practical. If you live according to it, you will see your life transform. You will find yourself to be a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better worker, a better boss. It's very practical. And when you do it, you are with full, you are with the blessing of our God. He says, ask whatever you wishes and we'll do it to you. Doesn't mean your own selfish wishes. Because you read his word, you saturate your life with his word. So the thing that you ask, you according to his will and his word. That is how we do his will. Not doing God's will is not that, oh, I must be a missionary. I must do certain thing in church. No. As God leads you, right? As God leads you, what you need to do, where you need to serve, who you should reach out to. Let God lead your life. That's why Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God and do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. Because when God leads our life, when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that means we disobey the command of God and we live in a sinful way. And the Holy Spirit of God will grieve and see us sinning against God. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is in us and with us every day. We rejoice that. Yes, God is in us. God is with me. I rejoice it. But do you know when you sin, when you bring this body to sins against God, God is with you and in you as well. And you are grieving Him inside. He definitely will give you the warning, don't do this. And you with a hardened heart and continue, go on with it. You grieve the Spirit of God in us. And quench the Spirit of God. When the teaching of the Word of God, you read it and, go, and the Holy Spirit tell you, you need to go and do this, to serve this, to share the gospel, to share the Word with the person sitting next to you. And you are, oh, I'm so scared. Oh, I don't want to. It's so uncomfortable. It's so inconvenient. I'm too busy. I don't have time. You quench the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Right? You're not doing what the Holy Spirit of God prompting you to do. You're not living what the Bible, the words of God ask you to live. Start every day in obedience, keeping His word. And when we do that, we will be the family of Christ. We will be His brother. We will be His sister. We will be the children of God. And we can call Him Abba Father the day to come. Where are you at this stage in your life? Let us come and commit this time, commit all of you to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wonderful word, Lord. Remind us, exalt us, convict us, and give us this truth and know what is your expectation. You want us so much to be your children, to be family together with your Son, Jesus Christ. You want our life to bear fruit, to glorify your name. Because you, the light, is in us. And very often, Lord, forgive us because of the busyness of our life. And we want the comfort of our life. We have hide your light from the people around us. And we even hide your light from ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. So, Father, this morning as we hear your word, let your word continue to speak for us. As your word convicts in our heart, let us not chuck it away, because the day will come we have to give account before you. So Lord, help all of us here, all my brother and sister and myself, to always abide in you, obey to your word, so that we can live a fruitful life for your glory, so that we can be called your disciple, so that we can be your true children and Christ's family in heaven. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray.